Blog Talk Radio. All agree to do one thing, share. Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing, share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Grand Rising, and we are here with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our guest co-host on our second Wednesday of the month, Maika, and we'll be right back after this quick break to talk about rebuilding our community and how do we connect our children to a family. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
To heal the hurt and the pain of separation that has created this pandemonium that we're experiencing, this fear that we now have of our own children and everybody else's children because we've allowed ourselves to become separated. Some years ago, my husband, Sultan, and I, we did a music video in conjunction with the Chicago Urban League. And it was about fatherhood. And we videotaped it in the housing complex at Stateway Gardens. It's called over on State Street here in Chicago. Those who are in Chicago, you're familiar. That was the projects over on 51st.
I'm not sure if I'm being heard.
Yes, you are.
I'm having
hear us?
Some serious computer difficulties this morning.
Yes, we hear you.
My cursor is just buffering, and I'm trying to shut my computer down and restart it. It's not responding. It's not shutting down. It's not functioning.
Well, that can certainly be quite frustrating. So I'm going to try a text message to him.
Make a call to the security company that, there we go, it's shut down now. Want to see if I can reboot my computer and start all over again, for it was not responding at all. The cursor was just buffering. None of the functions of the studio board was responding. See if it will come back on. My screen is totally black now. There we go. Okay.
Yeah, nothing more frustrating
has come up
than when you can't be.
See if I can log back in and see if that will correct the problem.
I definitely understand that situation.
Okay, I think I've got it corrected.
Unmuted.
Okay, can you hear us now?
Yes, I logged all the way off and logged back in, and praise be to Allah, it's operable now.
Great, well, we hear you. Yes, we hear you loud and clear. Myself and Maika are on the line. We hear you loud and clear. And, you know, we all had a slight glitch at the beginning, but that's okay because we always manage to make it work anyway. So we thank you for persevering.
Oh, yes. And I extend the greetings to you and Maika. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you in Grand Rising this morning.
Yes, it is.
Peace be unto you, Grand Rising to you.
Yes. You know, that's one of the wonderful things about working with these systems is that, number one, we realize how powerful they are in being able to connect us. But number two, we realize how distressing it can be when they malfunction. And we almost don't remember a time when we didn't have any of this and everybody just walked to each other's houses. And, you know, back in the day when people didn't even have telephones and you just walk to people's house and hope they're home or, you know, send your children down the street to give a message to Ms. Jones or whatever. I mean, the technology has changed the way we function. And in some ways it's brought us closer together because, yeah, I mean, we're all of us are in three different locations and we got people listening from all over the world and calling in from everywhere and we're talking to each other in real time. And you would think it would build closer communities, but something happened that actually caused us to be disconnected. And that's the thing that we want to look at today, because the thing that makes us a community is the thing that we lost, and that was the cohesion of families working together, doing little simple things and gathering together little simple times and events and celebrations and everybody knowing everybody's children and everybody knowing the people who serve the community, the teachers, the doctor, the mailman. I mean, just everybody being part of a community where everybody knew everybody by name and you knew whose child belonged to whose parents and, you know, everybody behaved because you didn't want your parents to be told that you had misbehaved. And there was just a sense of safety because everybody was connected. And so we want to take a look at how to rebuild that community. How do we rebuild our communities, rebuild the relationships that have been broken?
Yes, Naima?
Yes.
Yes, it's not strange. We know Almighty God is in charge of everything. But just coincidentally, this past Saturday, my family and all of us, we had a family reunion.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, I mean, it was so much warm affection and connecting with one another. I have great nieces that I had never met. You know how you can have a cousin, the cousin has children, the children grow up and they are married and have children. And it's so far flung that personal connection becomes strained. I met members of my family that I had not seen, but they had heard of me, you know. So, oh, so you're Uncle Kareem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we introduced each faction, you know, of the family. They were given the mic and introduced themselves. my immediate siblings, we are the nucleus. We are the eldest generation at this time. And you should, I mean, I really appreciated the love, the warmth, and the respect that we received. And we expressed to them that we need someone to carry this on. And quite a few hands were raised, and they informed us, don't worry about it. We are going to keep this happening, keep this functioning. And my cousin that I hadn't seen in years, Renee, she set up a family group page on Facebook. And we're all friends there. We can announce graduations, marriages, and who had children and all of that. So, but nothing beats that physical presence that we had with one another this past Saturday. It was just hugs and it was so wonderful. I concur with you that we have lost something. And I think it is that in your face, hand-to-hand connection that we have to reestablish that. I'll stop right there, my sister. But it was a wonderful family reunion.
I think that's a really profound thing that you said about the Facebook page, because we have all these means of staying connected. And our family did the same thing. We got a family Facebook page, all different factions, it's so expansive when I think of our parents, you know, parents that raised me and my sisters, and then all of their husbands and the in-laws, my husband, and, you know, in-laws from that, you know, children and all of that. And then, you know, everybody's, when you think of all of the people that are connected to that family and how expansive it gets, and just keeping up with each other, like you say, the things like the graduations, the you know, awards, any kind of thing that's happening, birthdays, you know, anything, and everybody being a part of something that makes them feel like they're a part of something. That's a wonderful thing that all families, I would recommend, should do, because it does, it introduces people to people they didn't know. Now, my two members of my family did that 23andMe DNA thing and found out all kinds of people they're connected to, relatives from distant relatives. So if we started really doing that as a human family and saw how connected we are, people from other races, other countries, and all of that, it's a whole different mindset. When you see that nobody's really a stranger, everybody's connected to somebody. But that's a lot of people don't have that because of what may have happened in their family that caused them to get disconnected, that caused them to be isolated, you know, caused them to be orphaned. And you have people who don't know siblings or haven't spoken to their siblings in years, people who have bad relationships with their siblings for whatever reason. But that's really where the breakdown comes from. It's the broken families and broken communities and people who now don't have any sense of allegiance to anybody because they've been disconnected and they feel like other people don't care. So that's what we got to rebuild, and using the tools that we have now. I mean, we have some amazing tools of connection now. We got all this technology. We can talk face-to-face to folks. I mean, I remember growing up, I didn't talk to my grandmother in Alabama. I think once a year we called and talked to her. I think it might have been on Mother's Day or Christmas or something, but it was like once a year. So I didn't know her. I didn't grow up knowing my mother in Alabama. Didn't grow up knowing my mother in West Virginia, my grandmother in West Virginia. I mean, all of these are just distant voices over the phone. And I think we went to visit her one time. I remember visiting her when I was like 4 years old, my grandmother in Alabama. So, of course, you know, I didn't know. And then when my other sisters went to visit her later on when we were all grown, I couldn't go because at the time I was in the midst of building a business. I couldn't leave. You know, I was kind of going through a critical thing. And they were like, oh, we want to see her, you know, because it had been like, you know, 20 years since they had seen me. But there wasn't enough of a relationship there for them to even know me or me know them, because all they were was a voice over the phone once a year. Now we can see each other. So we need to do that. And those family reunions are powerful. Because then, you put
wonderful.
A face with a name. You know?
That's,
so, Micah, what are your experiences with? So, Micah, what's been your experience with family and reconnecting the family, and maybe even seeing some of the challenges of reconnecting to family in these times?
Well, I come from a very small family, and we did stay in contact with each other for great periods of time, and we still are in contact. My side of the family, we don't even have enough people to have a family reunion. So
wow.
Do it anyway.
Yeah, do it anyway. Maybe five people. Hey, for you.
Anyway, that's where that is. Now, my husband's side of the family is so large, it's unbelievable. And there, that's where the family reunions come in at. And it's a wonderful experience seeing and communing with people who you are in some ways related to by blood. Well, one of the things that I've started doing really recently is not really focusing on blood relationship so much. I'm more interested in relationships with people who I can work with, who have the same ideals that I have. Those are important to me. Because I can choose and pick those kind of people, and there's a familiarity there that goes up to the level of soul. It's like they're part of my soul family, and so that's what I'm reaching out to at a time in my life. Because
you know,
that's the basis of community.
You know, the center of the family reunion, at the center of it, was my father, although he is not with us. But that was the drawing card, all that was connected with his bloodline. And it is wonderful how we see from him the many tributaries that have developed from family. And we had his picture and both of his wives and all of the children that emanated from those two marriages, you know. It was a wonderful experience. I met people that I had not seen, especially the small children. I mean, what they played together, it was held in a wonderful location, a nice park with all of the trampolines and monkey bars and throwing the football, all of that. So they connected. The children connected. And I'm from toddlers all the way up to young adults. They connected. And that is one of the magic of the family reunion. Us graybeards and old heads, we enjoy it. But the main thing is that our children are connecting with one another. And come to find out, my sister had worked with one of our second cousins. And they didn't even know that they were related. Until few family reunions earlier. So that's the magic of it all. It was so wonderful. It was beautiful. And knowing that they are going to keep that tradition up. And also, Zoom is a very useful tool, too, you know.
Yeah.
I do that with my grandchildren that live in Arizona. You know, they video tape, video communicate, and all of that. This is a gift from Almighty God so that we strengthen strengthen the sacred bond of blood relationship. It is
absolutely
sacred and so rewarding. I truly, as you can tell, I'm still floating on cloud nine from that wonderful family reunion. We had a lot of food, music, Soul Train, Line, you name
it. Oh, wow. But isn't it nice to gather and it's not a funeral? I mean, just because usually that's the only time you see all your relatives. Somebody got to die, and then everybody, oh, good to see you. But you almost don't want to express joy because it's supposed to be, I guess, like a mournful occasion or whatever. But it's nice to gather, and it's not because someone's dead. It's because you're celebrating life and everybody's alive, you know. And like you say, your father being the central theme, even though he was not there, but this is all the people he was connected to. And that's the beauty of our ancestors, all of the people that we're connected to by blood and then through marriage by all these other people. So that's the thing. And you mentioned Zoom. Now, because of the pandemic, a lot of people got familiar with Zoom because you couldn't leave your house and everybody was working from home and you know, ordering food to be delivered because you didn't want to go out and couldn't go and eat in a restaurant. So that, like you say, that's a gift from God. We have ways that we can stay connected visually, even though we're not in each other's presence. We're still in each other's physical presence because we can do it through our computers, through our cell phones. I mean, there's FaceTiming on your phone and all of these things so that our children and grandchildren who are growing up with this as a natural thing, they can stay connected. And I see the big difference between, you know, my relationship and my mother's relationship with the grandchildren and the relationship I had with my grandparents, which was, you know, a phone call once a year, maybe once every 2 years, where we never really had a relationship. So it's definitely, it's a gift to be able to do that. And when we can have children be in a place with everybody's family, there's all this love, they feel a sense of belonging, that has such a major impact on their feeling of identity, you know, belonging to something. Because that's really, when children go out and join gangs, it's because they need to belong to something, and there isn't a family that they feel like they belong to, a strong family that got all these connections. People who have, I've talked to young people and some that's old people that have been part of street organizations that they look at as their family because their family was not there. Their family didn't provide the love, the nurturing, the sense of belonging, the protection. And they feel like, look, this is my family. I die for my family. I'll kill for my family. This is my, they look out for me. They make sure I eat. You know, my own family threw me out the house. So we got to look at the ones who've gone wayward. It's because that family was lost, and we have to help reconnect them to a loving, healthy family. And that's how we can fix what's broken in our communities. We got to connect each child to a family that loves and cares for them and knows them by name, knows their personality, cares that they go to school, or cares that they have a job, or cares that they have a meal to eat, cares that they have clothes to wear. We have to do that. And when we do that, we will fix every single problem we have. That's where it starts. So nothing happens by accident. It's not an accident you just came back from a family reunion and I got the inspiration. Now, let's talk about family, because that's really where the healing starts. It's our families. Definitely.
No doubt about that.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a break, and then we'll talk about How do you rebuild relations with in-laws that are no longer in-laws? How do you maintain that family tie when you've had people who were related to you and maybe you're no longer married, but yet you still want to maintain a connection? How do you do that? Can you do it if the breakup was less than friendly? Should you do it? And what about the people who had formed ties? Maybe, you know, maybe there was a friendship between you as sister-in-law, even though you're no longer with the brother of the sister, but you still want to feel like that's your sister. Can you do it? Should you do it? How do you do it? We'll talk about that when we come back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1, and we'll know you have something to say, and we'll read some of the comments that we've got from our Facebook page. If you want to join us on Facebook Live, that's just go to Facebook and type in The Female Solution, and you'll see me sitting right here. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Wellbeing with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
People who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
We're back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid, our American Muslim 360 family, and our special guest co-host on our second Wednesday of the month, Maika. And we are talking about rebuilding our communities. How do we connect each child to a loving family? That really is the solution to the issues we're facing, our community. And there are people who have been made to feel like they don't belong to anything, so they don't have any allegiance to anything. So stealing, robbing, shooting, they don't feel a sense of belonging that would make them turn to their neighbor rather than turn on their neighbor. And there's a whole lot of people who don't have a neighbor because they don't have a home. We have hordes of homeless teenagers and young adults who are in survival mode. And they're constantly being penalized and punished
for being poor and scorned and ridiculed and cast out, thrown out of places of shelter like bus stations and train stations and stores. It's about to get cold. And as our sister Zelda on our Monday morning mindfulness host tells us, the homeless people need our help. And really, we shouldn't have people who are homeless. We should have enough of a sense of a community that they can live in some of these places that are empty. But there's something wrong in the hearts of the people who make those decisions, the reason why they will allow people to freeze to death rather than get shelter. And some people have become dangerous because they are addicted to drugs. And they're addicted to drugs because they're in emotional pain. And so the pain of their hurt, they try to soothe with drugs, and it distorts their personality and their judgment, and they become dangerous. But all of that can be healed. All of this can be resolved with love and a community. So how do we make that happen? Well, we're back with our co-host and our American Muslim 360 family. And Maika, you know, one of the things that I look at when we talk about expanding our family is the impact of the brokenness that many of our families have experienced. And, you know, you've lived a lifestyle of expanded community, and we've talked about that. But one of the things that was missed even in the expansion of family is the focus on a safe and loving environment for the children. And that's that you could see it coming through even with Kareem when he speaks about all the children who learned, you know, they met all their cousins, their uncles, their aunts, they played, everybody had fun. It was a feeling of safety. This is what everything is for, children being able to feel safe. And one of the things that really destroys that feeling of safety is when families break apart. And I've seen it happen where children are, sometimes they, you know, get shoved off between one family and the other. The mother and father's fighting over custody or can't agree on, you know, should even let you see your children. And the children really feel insecure because, you know, well, okay, when I'm with my dad, then they live in a nice community. The children are nice. I go to my mom's house, and the children are beating me up. I'm in a whole different neighborhood, or, you know, or maybe I got to go to grandma's because neither one of them, you know, are in a position to take care of me. And over at grandma's, well, that's fine because she's not really paying attention to what I'm doing. But then I'm out here getting in all kinds of trouble because nobody's watching me. So, I mean, it's all kinds of things that happen to children when our families are broken. How do we address that, in your opinion, your experience? How do we address that when you have a family and the father and mother split apart and everything is uprooted for the children, whether it's the regular school situation, activities that they can't participate in anymore because now they live with the parent who doesn't have a car or whatever the situation is, and their whole life is upended because the mother and the father either aren't speaking or haven't figured out a co-parenting agreement, and other relatives may not step up and step in and help. How do we deal with that?
Well, I want to start first with the word community. Community has a meaning. And basically, as I developed and worked in community development, we saw it as common unity, having a common unity, and being able to communicate. Because without communications, you can't come together. And what's happening out here now is there's so little communication. They're basically, people are inundated with negative attitudes, disposition, judgment, and opinions. And we don't take the time to really get to know each other. We are a society now that likes to just group people into categories. You're this, you're that. And really, each person is unique in and of themselves and cannot be categorized. But that's what we do. So as a result, people are not able to come to that identity point. Well, who am I? What is my purpose? What is my vocation, my God-given vocation? So consequently, people fit into these categories that people have defined. I was telling a friend yesterday, go to the internet and look up the word. First I asked her, I said, how many genders are there? She said, two. I said, well, go to the internet and look up gender and see how many there are. There are so many genders that it's unbelievable, and yet there are only two genders, but the opinion of others is that there are more than one. Okay, well, there's a breakdown in communications because now you don't have a common agreement as to what is, and that becomes a problem when you're trying to come together for something. So community is lacking. And then there's the saying, blood is thicker than water. And so people do oftentimes focus on their blood relationships at the expense of their soul family. But that's just a cliche, like, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, we all know that that's not true. Words go deep and can really hurt you. And blood comes from water, which means that we're all united. We're all family. All of us are a family. We're the family of God. And so we have a responsibility to come together with those who we can work on something with. It's nice to have gatherings and fun. However, we're going through tumultuous times right now. That's what's upon us. And we have to figure out how do we continue to experience the invitation that we've gotten to be on earth. How does that invitation continue to be in our lives? I was also telling somebody, you know, Mama Earth is not infertile. She didn't go through menopause. She can easily decide that this crop of humans that I've produced are worthless or of no value at this point because they can't come to peace and just start over. We have to remember that. Nothing's guaranteed. So we have to come together to learn how we can be in harmony with the earth so that the earth can be a support to us. You know, there's a saying that the harvest is ripe and the workers are few. Well, some time ago, I figured out, I said, well, if the harvest is ripe and the workers are few, it would behoove me to be one of the workers because that would mean I'm going to be of a necessity and I'll be protected as a result of that. And it worked out. It keeps me protected and safe. I don't worry about threats inside or outside. And I'm like that, my family is protected also because I've committed myself to doing God's will. And I think that's the most important thing for me, being of the family of God. Outside of that, that's where fear exists for me. If I'm outside of God's will, I'm afraid. So community development is very important. And one of the things we have to learn in terms of community development is to create institutions that serve our needs. See, we're ruled by institutions, but we haven't been taught how to develop institutions and how to maintain and how to administrate our institutions to get our needs fulfilled. That's not being taught, but that's the great need. Right. Everything outside of you is institution. It's telling you what to do, why to do it, how to do it. Everything is institutional, but we're outside of that. So we have to learn how to come together to create institutions that are sovereign and that are protective of our health interests, rights, and needs. Anyway, that's all I have to say right now. I don't know if I answered your question or not.
Well, you know, what you say makes a lot of sense. Let me just share a couple of remarks from Facebook, and we've got some comments from Eric Coopy James, just for U.S. State Senate. Okay, go right ahead, my brother. And he says, good morning. This is Prince Cherokee Coopy James, and he says, our Native American history is a secret to reconnect, and he says, we had family gardens which connected our neighborhood. And he says, we also had family barbecues and Friday fish fries and kept exchanging our real history in America. We felt so free listening to the elders' wisdom. And I think that that is an important thing in our gatherings, that we hear some of the stories of our elders. And he said he started the first family, the Facebook family reunion 5 years ago, still going on. And sometimes that's what I think, that's what a lot of us had to do during the pandemic years. But let me address a thing, and then I know Kareem wants to make a comment up. We've got a hand up on the switchboard as well, a couple of hands up on the switchboard. Identity. And that's the thing. And you know, we go over this thing, okay, are we black, are we white, are we Native American, are we Hispanic, are we, you know, what's our cultural heritage? And I like what you said, Mike, about being the family of God, because that's really where we have to evolve to and not focus on a landmass that defines us and confines us to just those people. One of the things that my family has discovered, even in the DNA tracing, of course, you know, we connected with some white folks. And then, you know, we've got in terms of marriage, well, we've married into Asians and we've married into European heritage, you know, white. We've married into people who are not from the continent of Africa. And as we connect with our families, we're going to expand beyond the color brown and going to have all kinds of colors. So if we want to be connected as family, we, as black people, got to move beyond being black. We got to move beyond being whether we were born on the continent or born in America or born in Europe or Asia or anywhere else, because we're the family of God. So how do we expand our minds to that so that we ultimately are connected to all beings and everybody's our family and no child is out there homeless because we say, well, he ain't one of us, she ain't one of us. How do we get to that point spiritually? So, Brother Kareem, you have a comment, and then we'll take some comments from our listeners.
Yes. Maika mentioned establishing institutions, which is very important. But the first institution that we must strengthen is the family. That is the first social connection. That's the first institution established for us, so that we can progress and grow. You know, my second wife, Rashida, she and I separated, and eventually we divorced. Mm-hmm. But I had been married to her for quite a good while, and I developed a relationship with her family, mm-hmm. her sisters and her brothers and nephews, and my brother-in-law that lives in Detroit, Robert Jackson is his name. he and I, we made a verbal agreement that we would always be brother-in-laws, you know, always. And we have kept that, we share experiences with each other. I periodically call to see how him and his wife is doing, and likewise he, me. So although you do establish relationships with family, that how can I say, that relationship will never be severed, not for real, not if we look at it in reality. When I was married to his sister, him and I were almost like brothers. That in-law thing, well, okay, brother-in-law, but still that did not detract from that I'm still related to him, related. I have a relationship with him. I have a relationship with my past wife's sister. They still call me Uncle Kareem, I'm included with that title, although me and their sister separated. She has since transitioned, but mm-hmm. that connection with her family and her family with mine is still there. That's what we have to maintain. You know, Almighty God uses the terminology in the translation of the Quran concerning blood ties. The word is translated into the mystical ties of blood relationship. In other words, there's something here that cannot be adequately explained. It is there. There's a mystical tie of blood relationship. I'll share this, then I'll relent. The Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, had a very close friend and companion, Abu Bakr Sadiq. Abu Bakr Sadiq had wealth, and Abu Bakr was supporting members of his family through his wealth. There was a member of his family that did not accept the religion al-Islam, that did not accept that the Prophet Muhammad was a prophet, let alone a messenger of God. Abu Bakr said within the Prophet's hearing, I will not support him anymore. I will not support him anymore. The Prophet Muhammad approached him and told him, don't do that. Don't do that. Continue to support members of your blood relationship. So religion itself, how can I say, it does not trump, praise be to Allah, using that word, but that's real. It does not trump the mystical tie
right.
of blood relationship. So as Muslims, that is where we are. So what? Well, he's involved in a gang. He's involved in crime. I don't like his lifestyle. Maintain a relationship with that family member. That sense of bonding may be enough to whereby they separate from the aberrant behavior. It is so important. And just one more caveat, and I'll stop. I promise you. We hear men speaking of how much they love the African American community, how much they are down for their people, how much they want the liberation of their people. My question to, especially the men, are you married?
Mm.
Are you married? Why do I ask him that? Because it is through strong marriages and strong families that we strengthen the African-American community. Don't tell me you love us and you are not contributing to the very foundation, the solidification of community life. So I'll stop right there, my sister.
Definitely some very profound points. One of them being, of course, that people tend to disown somebody that they don't agree with. I don't agree with your lifestyle. I'm not speaking to you anymore. Or you've been to jail, you've shamed the family, or you've decided to be homosexual, or you've decided to come out about being homosexual, and you know, my religion condemns you, don't come around the family. I've seen that a lot, you know, condemnation when someone's different. Oh, you married that person outside the race will, you know, I'm cutting you out of the will, you know. And I'm glad you read that passage, because there are a lot of people who feel like they were justified in disowning someone who did something that they didn't approve of, and therefore we're not going to include them in, you know, financial wealth and inheritance, as well as just social acceptance. You know, I've known people have been told, don't come around here anymore, you know, because they, whatever it is they're doing, they're okay, you're in that drug dealing life, don't come around the family. And I understand, you know, maybe some of it might be fear-based, like, okay, you come around here, people are shooting at you, they're going to shoot up everybody in the house. I understand that fear, and that's something that has to be addressed. We'll talk about that at the other side of the hour, because that's a thing. How do you deal with that wayward person that is living a dangerous lifestyle and could be bringing that danger to the family, or the person who's got a drug habit and it's stolen from everybody? How do you reconcile that relationship? We'll talk about that after the break. But the other thing that you said, which is a critical thing, being married is not the same as, you know, having multiple relationships, because, see, your family doesn't know if they should even emotionally bond with the girlfriend or the boyfriend, because as long as you're not married, that's saying, well, this is temporary, I don't know if I'm going to be with them or not. And people don't want to establish emotional ties with somebody, and then you kick them to the curb. You know, that's a hurting thing with somebody who still likes that person. So they don't really bond with the person you might bring to family gatherings. They like them, maybe, but if you have not married them, then they don't know if they should begin to bond emotionally with them, because then it might not last. So that does make a difference. And you are saying it's a difference between I like hanging out with you and you are now part of my family. You know, I want my siblings and my parents to see you as part of the family. And then another thing you did, which is also true, when you bonded with somebody that is in the family and then there's a divorce, you know, like, wait a minute, this is my brother. Y'all got a divorce. We did.
Thank you.
So, I mean, we were like that in our family. We had, you know, one of my aunts that got divorced. And, hey, the husband's still our uncle. That's y'all. You know, that's still our uncle. We went to visit him. We, you know, went to funerals, all that stuff. Because, hey, that's not our divorce. That's yours. And so
that's right.
I think that's important.
That's right.
Yes. So I think that's important too, that people realize you can't make somebody an outlaw who used to be an in-law. And you can't get mad if the family still wants to see them. You want to bring this new person around at family gatherings, but they bonded with that other person. And they still want to see that other person. So you got to figure out how to work that out, because you can't disconnect people just because you disconnect, even though. And I think that's something that a person should talk about when they get ready to remarry. You know, well, I still have relations with my other in-laws. And that's real. I mean, I remember we were after my husband's funeral, we were in the limousine, you know, going to the repast, I think. And one of my daughters by marriage said to me, so, you know, you're not going to leave the family, are you? I mean, even if you remarry, you're not going to leave the family. And I can see her concern was, okay, now that our father has transitioned, and these are my daughters by marriage, you know, they were like, okay, are we still going to be connected? And that was a legitimate concern, because, you know, you've been our family, Now do you not become our family if you reconnect with someone else? And so I think when a person has been in a family, they've been married, they've had, they have connections with in-laws and children by marriage and all of that, if they start seeing somebody, that person needs to know, I am still connected to my former spouse's family. How do you feel about that? Because that's part of who I am, and I'm not going to disconnect. I might include your family too, but I'm going to be part, all of it's going to be my family. You know, are you emotionally able to deal with that? So I think that that's part of staying connected, and rather than disconnecting, keep the family ties even if there's a divorce or a death. I think that we should still always be expanding family because we're always the family of God. That's my thought on that.
That's right.
Yes. So we got to take another break, and we've got a couple of more comments. Let's see. Luana Trailer says, great morning, Naim Latif. Thanks for the inclusion. I like that. Yes. And Viata says, great awakening, sister. Yeah, I like it. Great awakening. Yes. Thank you all for joining us and adding your comments. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about how do we deal with that family member that may be doing some things that are really unacceptable, and yet they're still our son, our daughter, our nephew, our niece, our cousin, our uncle, our aunt. How do we keep them in the family? How do we deal with that? Because we don't want anybody to be disconnected. We'll be right back and talk about that after this break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima.
We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
We are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with my co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our special guest co-host, Maika, on this second Wednesday of the month. And we are talking about rebuilding our communities. How do we connect each child to a loving family? Well, we've got some callers on the line here. I want to open some mics and get your comments. And for those who are listening online, we want you to call in 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. And please press 1. That'll light your number up on our switchboard and lets us know you have something to say. So let me go to area code 5. 520, your mic is open. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment on our topic.
L.A., Central Florida.
Hey.
How you doing? Good morning, all. I've noticed a trend. This is just a comment, a trend to answer your question and to the title, tie into the title of today's podcast, live stream, rather. I've noticed the trend for the last 2 years, that you have small groups of black folk here in the USA that are organizing and practicing cooperative economics. One group I can think of is they started it's called Freedom Georgia. Or if you look up on YouTube, you go to the channel Freedom Georgia. It started, talk about a female solution. It started with two females that ran across a patch of land and said, you know what? If we organize, we can buy this piece of land. So this is just two women now with no money. Okay. Mm-hmm. So one said, all right, I'll talk to 10 of my friends. The other one said, I'll talk to 10 of my friends. So between the two of them, they came up with 19 families that ponied up, and the families, of course, included children of all ages. So they were able to buy 97 acres of land.
Wow.
And they're called the Freedom Georgia Initiative, if that's their website, but on YouTube it's Freedom Georgia. And since then, I mean, they do campouts and this. Their whole thing is to essentially build a community, not rebuild, but build a community into a town. So they've gone from 97 acres up to 502 acres at the last count. So that's what they're doing. And the other group's doing that, too. I've noticed that type of trend. Viata interviewed somebody, I don't know, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. They bought like 110 acres of land, and they're doing what they're doing, and I think it's only 12 of them. And I've run across some other groups that. It's not a whole lot of that I've run across, but I think that that's a trend that I'm noticing, where because children are learning some serious life skills, because we're talking about they learn how to put in septic systems, dig wells, build houses, you know, infrastructure, the whole nine yards or whatever it takes to develop a piece of land into, a town or a brick-and-mortar community. So anyway, that's just my observation on a trend that I've noticed in the last couple of years.
We appreciate that. In a little while, I'm going to pull up a video I found about the 19 black families who came together to buy land in Georgia. I'm going to pull that up in just a moment. Thanks so much, L.A. We appreciate that. And it's always encouraging to know that there are people who are just going to go ahead and do it anyhow. And they don't need anybody's approval. They just get it done. So in a few minutes, we're going to share a few minutes of that video with our viewing audience. If you all want to see it, we'll let you hear it, what the sister says. But for those who want to view it on Facebook, you can join me on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and type in The Female Solution. You'll see me sitting right here with all my sisters in the background here on the backdrop. And thank you, L.A. We'll certainly share that with our viewers and listeners in just a moment. Let me go to area code 773-960. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment on our topic.
Yes, this is Prince Kufu James from the Midwest right now.
Yes, sir.
Actually, those sisters, they thank me. I motivated them. That's what I was doing the past 10 years on the Internet, getting people to buy land. So I actually, that's one of the people I was working with. And getting homesteads, I was I did a lot of homesteading videos, but mostly Europeans took my advice. Oh yeah, I got stories.
Well, I think there are probably people of all races who have decided that they want to build communities. So that the basis is
I'm looking at our people not as victims. I'm looking at our people that. We need the most help, okay? Now, we got to stop trying to help the whole world and help ourselves first. That's been my my blueprint for success. And I get pat on the back by other races saying, brother, you stayed home with your people. We are so proud of you. Still home with my peoples, you know, and I'm proud of myself. But other people have been motivated as well. But we need history. We have to stop saying what we're not doing and find out, like when that brother just called and told y'all a success story, we need to go out and look at the success stories. There's some things happening that most of us don't even know that's going on, because when you really want to get something done, guess what you do first? You shut up and get it done. You don't tell nobody you're doing it. There is so much going on that we don't know about, and this is how I become successful. I tap into the people who are actually doing it and not saying it. And then after they have done it, they'll share how they've done it. You know, you look at our history, the most motivating, I'm going to say this, I'm going to stop talking. You know, I can talk forever. The most motivating story I got in history from going to college, that political science major at Illinois State University, was learning that Abraham Lincoln was a black man who, as a congressman, wrote a law called the Emancipation Proclamation. When he became president, he activated his own law. Hired 200,000 black soldier freemen, gave them guns, rifles, two horses, a big old wagon, and he said, go ahead, I'm about to sign this document to go ahead and get the slaves off the plantation because they are breeding them right now. I'm not trying to stop people from picking cotton, but they're breeding them, and I want to stop that breeding shed of property. They went in there and saved half of those people, half of them left. The other half stayed, said, well, I'm going to do a deal with Master, give me a little high income. But the ones who left, they started towns, thousands of towns all over America. Even Gurley did it in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He was a Freeman soldier who got 40 acres. Then they killed black president Abraham Lincoln, who was a nappy-haired brother. Because ain't no white boy going to give 200,000 black men up. Ain't no black man going to give 200,000 black men rifles, okay? Come on now. I got the picture of the real Abraham Lincoln if you want it. They killed him. Andrew Johnson, his vice president, stopped that order from giving us, returning the land back to us. See, that's inspirational to me. That fires me up. That keeps my fire going, knowing that a brother had set us straight, and that was the reparation, the 40 acres where it came from.
Well, all right. Well, we thank you for sharing that.
Returning back to land, have a positive image. Like that brother said, it started with two women, and that's how things start. So, and you can get it with your family. I talk with my family. And let me say this here. This is one of the most awesome things I found when I did the first Facebook family reunion 5 years ago to kind of connect with my father's family from California, who I didn't kind of know a lot. They told me about my father, who's a Vietnam veteran, came back, had me. But my grandfather was the head of the Church of God in Christ over all of Northern California. He brought all the ministers together in America. He's E.V. Stewart. It's on Google. I Googled his name and found all his information, right? Got his picture. They sent me his picture, and they said he used to go into churches that he created, because we had our own church, a Godby church in L.A., okay? He had his own, he helped build 100 churches, and every Sunday he went to at least 7 to 10 of them, and he played the harp and spoke in tongues. And he would leave and go to the next church, play the harp, and spoke in tongues. Now, I've been doing that for 10 years and didn't even know he did that. I've been playing a harp and speaking in tongues on Facebook, playing a little harp music and speaking in tongues. My cousin said,
so now you know where it comes from.
Look at your grandfather's picture. I looked at my grandfather's picture. He said, that's your twin. I said, that's
there's
my twin. He said, No. He's reincarnated through you.
There you go.
So, all right,
well,
then
done. Thank you for that information. We're gonna share information about the sisters here, so we want you all to listen up. About 9 minutes right before they'll take us to the break. Yes, I mean, that issue of land always comes up. Those many who did, as you say, leave the plantation and establish townships. Some of the more famous ones we know, like Rosewood and the Oklahoma community that were violently attacked. So, I mean, that's always a thing that people will unfortunately go back to and grab onto to stay in fear. But we need to let it go. We need to let it go. That's not going to happen again. What we need to do, like these sisters have done, is get families together, get the land, and build communities. We need to let go of the fear of the past. That's just like people being afraid to go and vote because they're afraid they're going to be lynched, or afraid to strive for a higher job because they're afraid they're going to be lynched. We need to let that go. Those awful things happen, but no one has power over us. We need to let go of fear. Because of what was done in the past, we are powerful, and this will not happen again. And we don't need to fear organizing. We don't need to fear. So thank you, LA. We're going to show this video. And again, if you want to see it as well as hear it, you can go to my YouTube page, my Facebook page and YouTube page, The Female Solution, and watch it live here. It's called Black Backlash by White People Who Oppose the 19 Families Who Came Together to Buy Land in Georgia. So I'm going to share this with you right now. Listen to what she has to say on that.
Hello, and welcome back to Redirecting. Recently, I covered a story where 19 black families purchased some land down in Georgia. And the plan is for them to turn this land into a safe haven city for black people. Now, apparently they are experiencing some backlash from you-know-who, people who don't like the idea, who are speaking out very verbally and very aggressively against the whole idea. Now, I think there is a big misunderstanding on the parts of these people who are speaking out against the efforts of this group. Or should I say, it's not really a misunderstanding. It is what you call playing dumb, pretending like they don't know what's going on or why these people have made the choices that they are making or that they have made, should I say. Now, we read some of the comments, and I'm not going to provide any advertising for this particular website because it is a website that is geared towards racial division. Okay, they don't like people of certain skin color. And when you read through the comments, it is very clear that they don't. They totally just mixed up the whole story. Now, you have these 19 black families who talked about the danger, the oppression, the discrimination, and just all of the things that so-called black people have had to endure for hundreds of years. We're not talking about a brief moment in time where we've had to endure certain things, but we're talking about centuries, right? And so what they are saying is that we are tired of it, right? One of the commenters said they were talking about the women's images and how they were overweight and different things like this, saying this chick looks like she's 400 years old. Yeah, I guess she looks like she's 400 years old because she referenced one of the people who bought the land. She referenced the fact that our people have been oppressed in America for 400 years. And so they're talking about, you know, trying to affix that as if you're not actually 400 years old, then how can you attest to what your ancestors went through? That is one of the most idiotic statements. We know what our ancestors have gone through, you see, and they know too. But there is this thing where they like to try to play dumb and pretend like they don't know what we've gone through, what we experienced. There were some more harsh comments as well. Comments that are, in my opinion, some of them are kind of threatening, you see, but they have been allowed to get away with just saying anything threatening to us, and no one's going to do anything about it. And even sometimes when you attempt to try to protect yourself against the possibility of these threats, then some kind of way their system figures a way to put it all on you. You see, even though for the past 400 years, who's been the threat to whom? I'll let y'all answer that in the comment section. Who has been the greatest threat to whom in this country? Okay? These are the kinds of conversations that many have been having for years. We get gaslighted. We get ignored. We get the old get over it statement thrown at us many times over. This family or these families, should I say, these 19 families that have come together, they wanted to create something. And one of the commenters made reference, they said, what if they try to do the same thing? Then it would be all kinds of backlash and all of this. But what they don't realize is you do have the same thing already. You just don't call it that. You redline communities. You keep people out of communities. You see, they don't understand that we know. It's almost as if they don't think that we know that we have doors slammed in our faces, opportunities are blocked, and they act as if we don't know because they'll put it in the ad, equal opportunity employer, or they'll say fair housing authority. They'll say all these things in the ad, but they know that in their mind there's no fair housing, there's no equal opportunity. They know that that article doesn't make the decision or those words don't make the decision, but it is made by them. And so if they want to keep you out of a place, they do. Simple as that.
they do. If they want to keep you out, that is exactly what they do. And so to try to pretend like you don't know that there is oppression, that is a form of manipulation, or they figure if they don't own up to it, no one can accuse them of it. Now, some of you, you get frustrated when you hear us talk about these things, but when we go to websites, you all are constantly telling us to be quiet, get over it, stop talking about these things, stop stirring the pot. But when we go to websites such as this particular one, all I'll tell you is it starts with a B. That's all I'm going to say, okay? I'm not going to provide any advertising for them. But many of them, you go to their website, and they have it right on their pages, and they just spill it all out. You look in the comment section, thousands of comments, not one positive. All of the comments are geared towards the perpetual hatred of calling us all kinds of names, doing all kinds of things, because the purpose and the environment on that website is to create exactly what we're looking at. You see, and yet you all want us to be quiet, but you're not going over there and telling them to be quiet. See, many of us, we are responding to that, or get this, in my case, I don't go over there and respond. I don't even deal with their websites. Someone else shared it, and I was reading the comments, but what I do is I like to wake up my people concerning these things, those who are asleep thinking that the world is fair and honest now. Some of our people are really that simple-minded to where they think that the world is fair and honest. And my job and the jobs of many others is to give them that wake-up call. This is why, or one of the reasons why, we call this channel Redirecting, because we need to help to redirect our minds and our focus to reality, because many of our people have been swooped up in la-la land, and that's where they dwell.
All right, so this sister is talking about the 19th black families who came together to buy land in Georgia and the kind of backlash that they got. And a lot of times what happens when people get ready to do something, they do get criticism. But if you let that stop you, then you will always be stuck on people are going to attack us. So the things that we're talking about doing, first of all, gathering our families together, making sure that we know each other, staying connected, using all the means that we have, whether it's Facebook, whether it is family gatherings, whether it is community gardens, to do these things. And if we feel like we need to separate and buy land and go and build someplace else, we ought to have the courage to do that as well. And there are people, Maika's down there in Pembroke, there are a lot of folks have left the inner city and have gone and bought land in an area where they can control the circumstances and they can expand and they can grow their own food, which is one of the most powerful things you can do in terms of creating an independent economy and an interdependent economy. That's really where we can create the more emotionally healthy communities where our children are not feeling like they're in danger and they're not feeling like they're going to be subjected to harassment and they're not feeling like they have to live in fear. So I want to get some thoughts on that, because one of the main problems that we're having right now in the urban environment is that some of our children have acted like they've lost their minds, and it's because they have not had a community and they have not had a sense of empowerment, and they have not been connected, and some of them is gone renegade, and we get angry and frustrated. And I've had a number of associates that have been carjacked by young people. And so they're angry and they're fearful, but they're also angry that they feel like the state's attorney, Kim Fox, the black woman that we elected because we were mad at the way Laquan McDonald was, a 16-year-old shot, 17-year-old shot 16 times by a white police officer. So we elected her, but we're angry if she doesn't come down hard enough on young people that commit crime. But I understand her mother instinct and wanting to say there's got to be a better way to deal with that. So my question is, how do we deal with those among us
the young people who have gotten involved in a dangerous, predatory lifestyle because they're disconnected from a family? How do we bring them back into a community setting? Do we need to take everybody out of the city and go somewhere and buy some land and start all over? Is that the answer? Maika, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, as I was listening, I was thinking about all the blood families that have land that haven't come together to do exactly what these women came together and did, and that is to activate the land within their blood family. I mean, mm-hmm. this land is available, and people are ignoring the reality of this, and this is where the whole thing about blood comes in. It's like, what are you instituting within your families that is able to secure the lives of your progeny? That's what's important. So this is where the whole area of healing comes in, because we are an injured people. And if we don't take serious our injuries and the need to heal ourselves emotionally in particular from these injuries that have taken place, we cannot go forward because we're frozen in fear. We're frozen in the past in terms of what happened. Yeah, you have people who are afraid to have money because there was a time in history when if you had money, that was your master's money. That wasn't your money.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't, and you had to turn that money over to master. I don't care how you got it, but it was not yours. So, and you
right.
could die as a result of that. And then you have all of the headless horsemen, where people were threatened in different ways and chased off the land. And so one of the things we have to institute within our families, whether it's blood or whatever, is the acquisition of land. Now, this is an interesting case that you're talking about, that the white folks are coming down on these people because they came together and they have land. I'm going to look into it more because, you know, people can't be going around threatening people because they decide to come together and do something. Is something missing in that piece? And so it's like I'm going to have to examine it because I've farmed all over the United States, and those threats were never there, and we didn't own the land. We just utilized.
Mm.
And sometimes it was white folks who let us use their land. So,
yeah.
You know, when you called me this morning and we were talking about the topic, I was telling you what I was meditating on was being the dirt. Which means
mm-hmm.
humbling myself, really. Totally humbling
mm-hmm.
myself. That no matter what's going on, I'm not a threat and I don't feel threatened. And that's a exercise that more of us need to engage in. How do you take threat out of your life? How do you get to the point where you're not feeling threatened by somebody and you're not threatening anybody? Because if you're not
right.
threatening anybody, you're like invisible to them.
Right.
You know? How do we take that position? So that means when I deal with myself, I have to deal with, okay, Maika, you don't like this. You don't forget that. Like, get down on the dirt. You know, because when I was in the NEPI this past Sunday, I was laying on the dirt. I had my head on the dirt, just meditating within the womb of the Great Mother. And that was a Native American Inipi ceremony. And so it's like getting down under the problem, getting on the problem. I mean, so that, you know, it's not your opinions. It's not you judging something. It's not what you like, what you want. Taking all of that out of your life, not just allowing life to happen without you having to put anything into it. Just like you don't have to put it in your heart beating. You don't have to put anything into
right.
your lungs. I don't have to put any thought into the words that are coming out of my mouth. That the universe itself supplies everything that we need, and everything is in order. Even if we think it's out of order, it's in order because it's happening. So it's like really getting to that place out of life, you know, and just experience life and be grateful for it. That's a prescription I offer people. And that's one I'll continue to work on. Thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate that thought, because that is where peace resides. And all the things that we're told we must do and must achieve, and we're stressed out about it, and that's what creates a lot of the aberrant behavior. But if we can just enjoy life as it is, then things will flow as they need to. So that is a state of mind that it takes some solitude to get to. And we don't have solitude because we got constant noise in the lifestyles we live. And that's perhaps the beginning step to creating, is to get somewhere where we can get quiet and develop that inner peace. Well, we're going to take our last break and come back and get some more of your comments. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. And press 1 so that the host will see your phone light up on the switchboard and we can open your mic and get your thoughts. And we will be right back after this last break. So we ask you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment. So stay with us. And
our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Minutes of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family that joins us every Wednesday. And, of course, our special second Wednesday of the month co-host, Maika. And we are talking about rebuilding our community. How do we connect every child to a family? That is the critical question, because that is where the change is needed. We just listened to a video which the host of the show was talking about this group in Georgia that our caller L.A. Davis mentioned, and I believe he's talked about them on his show, It's My House, where this group of 19 families bought land and are building a community.
Unmuted.
It is ideal, and we need to own the places where we live. One thing, and I was saying at the beginning of the show about my experience at Stateway Gardens when we did a video on fatherhood in collaboration with the Chicago Urban League, and the young man who produced the video with myself and my husband Sultan, we created the video. We were there in that community that no longer existed. The house has been torn down. The projects have been torn down. But it's over there on 51st and State, the projects, you know, tall buildings, family squashed all together. But what we learned in the process of producing that video was that that was a community. Those are families that were living together, children who've been raised together, and whatever dramas they had going on, but it was a community. And it was a cohesive community. And even though there were issues with drug dealing, drug use, and all of that, and as lower economic communities often are, a community that was exploited and neglected and ultimately destroyed when the buildings were torn down. But what we understood from that experience is that these were families who had a connection over time that was a community, that was some stability. You did have elders looking out for the children, and they knew each other. They went in each other's houses. They socialized. All that was destroyed when the projects were torn down and they built up these new high-priced homes, and those families could not move back in. They couldn't afford it. And so that community was destroyed, and who knows what happened to those children from that community. So we need to own where we live so that people can't just come in and decide, oh, well, we're going to build something else. And so we're getting rid of you all, you know, we'll scatter you all over the place, because that's what happens to those families. So this move that these 19 families are making, it is important. We need to own where we live. We need to have places where we can pass down generation after generation. And we do need two permanent family ties. Like Kareem was talking about, you know, when you split up a family, you know, you mad, oh, he cheated, she cheated, you know, he lost his job, whatever the situation, you got to look long range. Some of that stuff doesn't matter when you look at what are your long range goals for your family, and are you temporarily angry because somebody did something that angered you or disappointed you? Is it enough to destroy generations of building and stability? Is it really? Think about it. And I'm not saying that people don't have a right to be upset at their spouse for whatever breach of the contract they did, but some of this destruction of our families is so destructive for generations, and it creates poverty for generations, and we become targets of other people's abuse for generations. So we need to get married and stay married, and if we get unmarried, we still need to stay connected, and we need to own where we live so that we can build. So Kareem, is anybody on your switchboard wants to make a comment? And what are your thoughts on this whole building of communities? What are the steps we need to take where we are to rebuild those relationships so that our children are belonging to a people that care about them, or they can care about the people?
Yes, we have to enter into the mindset of ownership. We're not renting space here on Earth. The Earth belongs to us. We should not act like that someone else owns the public space.
Yes.
Right. The Earth belongs to all that are birthed on the Earth.
Absolutely.
And we have a right to what is ours. And one more thing, they wanted to instill fear within the African-American population with these atrocious burning down and murdering and rampaging to instill fear. And that was an effective process just for a time. But we are not quitters. We are not quitters. We will not surrender what belongs to us. The earth belongs to us. The land belongs to us.
Absolutely.
God gave the land to us. We must embrace that idea.
Yes.
You know, I must say this, and I don't mean any harm, but we have to come out of this mindset. You can have the whole world. Just give me. No, you can't have the whole world. The
right.
world belongs to us.
Right.
And God created this world for our utility, for us. I'll stop right there, my sister. We have someone on the line at this time whenever you are
let's take that caller and give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment on this topic of rebuilding our community. How do we connect each child to a loving family?
Okay, Erica, 727-916. Martha Nyla Abdullah, please state your wonderful name and where you're calling from.
Oh, my wonderful name is Martha Nyla Abdullah. Thank you, Kareem Hamid. Praise be to Allah for everyone and Naima Latif, all the listeners. Very quickly, I'm going to share in this way. Everyone by now, you probably know of CWSC Community Watch Your Conference and the efforts of the Year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiative. And now part of that, in what we're talking about today, we're coming away with one strategy or two, is that to make that work with children knowing about themselves and their families, is we're establishing a writing lab.
Mm.
And that writing lab will deal with taking you through the course of your mental self, but a philosophy, and I think Kareem offered one last week, which was all men are created equal, or I believe that was it, Kareem, but a philosophy, and then the psychology, and then the physiology. The physiology includes our own anatomy, and then how organized it is, how communicating it is, how connected it is, and then putting that out into the designing and establishing architecturally and physically a community, seeing it, being connected with that whole idea. But we're going through that process and seeing it with this idea overall. One God, one soul, two personas, masculine and feminine. Two personas. You see how I'm saying that? And I'll stop right there. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Sister Martha Nyla Abdullah from St. Petersburg, Florida. Yes. That is wonderful. I think it's so powerful to have our children visualize it, because everything starts with a vision. If you can see it, you can be it. And we need to see it. We need to create it first in our minds. That's where it begins. And when we can create it in our minds, then we can manifest it in the physical. So that has to be what we speak into existence, what we visualize into existence, and then we will build into existence. Thank you so much, my sister. Delga has joined us on Facebook, and she says, Grand Rising. So busy listening to this crucial conversation. I forgot to share. Well, thanks for offering awesomeness, awesome mindfulness conversation. Yes, make sure you share it. Absolutely. Yes, we can do this. this is definitely something that we can do. We can create. We can change what exists. So now for those who are living in neighborhoods where they're afraid of the neighbors, how do we take that step when we have gotten to the point where we're afraid of the lady next door who's got the teenager whose friends hang out on the porch and talk loud and play awful music and all that? How do we make friends with people that we have come to see as them? How do we erase that thought in our minds that other people are different or dangerous or uncivilized? But sometimes we think those things about because we see them do things, and they may do things different than we are. May be a little loud. Maybe, you know, we get all kinds of stereotypes in our own minds. Somebody's pants are sagging, or the hair, you know, they got locks, or whatever we've been conditioned to see as those people who we should fear. That conditioning is very, very, very strong. They do it every day on the news to recondition you to fear. And it has been effective so that we stop talking to each other. We call the police on each other when we see each other doing something, as opposed to going over and saying, well, you know, could you not do this, or could you not play that music? Those words are kind of, I got a two-year-old and I want them learning the lyrics of that song. You know, I mean, being able to have a sense of humor about it, but being able to get to know our neighbors right on the blocks where we live. Do we know everybody in every house? Are we willing to go door to door and get to know them? I mean, the political canvassers, they did it because they were getting paid to get names on petitions. But can we do it just to build a community? And within our families, can we get to know everybody in our families? Can we get to know every relative? And can we reach out to that relative we haven't talked to in a while? Can we reach across the aisle to the relative that is the outlaw that used to be the in-law because we are no longer married to the person, but we did have a relationship before? Can we reestablish that? Can we do those things? So, Maika, what are your thoughts on that? How do we reach out to people that we don't talk to because we don't trust them, or we don't like them, or we think we don't want to be bothered with them, or we fear them because they're doing things we don't approve of and we know may be illegal or dangerous? How do we reach out to people that we've disconnected from? What are your thoughts?
Well, of course, it depends on the circumstance and the conditions that you're dealing with. I personally grew up in a neighborhood where we had a block club in force, so everybody knew each other. Everybody worked together and participated in community or block club activities. So that wasn't a problem. Like where I live now, I'm in a senior complex. There are 40 families here. And sometimes I just go sit amongst the people. I don't say anything. I just sit amongst them. I don't participate. I don't talk. I just sit. And then somebody will come and say, how you doing? Can I get you something? Can I this? Can I that? They just come out and start talking, and I love all the people. I love them, although basically they don't do anything. They smoke cigarettes. They get drunk, but I don't get involved in that with them. I'll sit amongst them, and at times a conversation will come up that I can participate in. But that's how I get to know people, and they get used to me being around. So that's how I do it. I have a situation now where I have some clothes that are missing, and my belief is that somebody stole it out of the laundromat. So we do have security cameras, and I have contemplated getting the security footage and asking the management to go through it to determine who did that. But this morning, as I was contemplating being the dirt, I said it's not important. I don't want to get nobody in trouble. It's all right.
Mm.
That was that I had. So
wow.
So yeah, that's I took the importance off the clothes because it's like somebody might get put out. I don't want anybody to get put out. They had a
wow.
Clothes. So you know, we do have to prioritize what is important and what's not important. I don't like being stolen from. But sometimes there's something more that you have to put into perspective in terms of what's going on. So again, it depends on what's going on that will determine how you interact with people. The most important thing is not to be afraid of people. People are you. That's a part of you. Don't be a part of yourself. That's a different aspect of you manifesting itself in a different fleshly form. Don't find ways to separate. Find ways to come together. Find ways to interact. So, you know, we have to do that. Stop being afraid. Fear is such a big part of our community. You know,
yeah.
fear of this, fear of that, fear of everything. So that's the biggest threat. What are they going to do to me? What are they going to say to me? Are they going to humiliate me? Are they going to take advantage of me? Are they going to steal from me? Are they going to lie to me? You know, all these things are possible, and we have the ability to rise to the occasion to deal with it in a unique, special way in prayer. So we just have to do that. Find ways to come together rather than how we're going to be apart.
Wow. Now that's a powerful testimony. And I think really when you look at things like that, if someone takes something, maybe they didn't have clothes. Maybe they needed those. And a lot of times theft comes from an unmet need. Yeah, you don't like the feeling that someone took what didn't belong to them. But so many times people are faced with feelings of shame because they don't have, you know, you see children with no socks on, it's starting to get cold outside, and, you know, they may not have socks. And there's a shame of not having money to buy socks, you know, something that simple. So sometimes it's the higher spiritual law is to just let it go. So
that's right.
I thank you for demonstrating that today, because our listeners need to and viewers need to understand that there are greater things that we're striving for as souls on this earth. And one of them is compassion. Have compassion. That's the first step to building a community. Being sensitive to the needs of
You know, Sister Naima, the Prophet Muhammad shared with us that Almighty God put so many demands upon him concerning kindness to the neighbor. Kindness to the neighbor. That the Prophet Muhammad said, I thought that God was going to have the neighbor inherit me. But that is so essential. Kindness to the neighbor. You know, we can't live as strangers in the same area. And also, I suggest that we include the young people. Include them in the planning. Ask what they want to be. Include them. And then they feel an active part of a community. I'll stop right there. I only have 90 seconds left. Thank you for everyone.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you to all of you. Thank you so much, Maika. As always, it's such a gift for your participation and sharing your wisdom. Thank you to all of you who have joined in. It's time to go, my people. If you have something to say, you'll have to join us again tomorrow and say it, even though we'll be talking about something else, because we'll be with Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. But it's always a continuation of thought, because we're speaking with the inspiration of the divine. And there's a divine plan for us to come together as family, the family of earth, the family of God. That's who we are. So thank you all for joining us, my family.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Mikhail Ukda, Assistant Imam of Masjid Al-Halim, New Medina, Mississippi, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge 910-317-0297. Together, we can make the world.
We've come to to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Medasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.